Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the desert here in Scottsdale as Penn State gets ready to go to Glendale tomorrow, the University of Phoenix Stadium, to take on Washington in the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. Kickoff set for 4 o'clock tomorrow here in Arizona. We're on the air beginning at 2:30 with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show from Scottsdale is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. You want to stock up tonight. You've got the Cotton Bowl tonight, USC against Ohio State. Tomorrow, you've got the Fiesta Bowl at 4 o'clock. We're on the air beginning at 2:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. Then tomorrow night, at the Orange Bowl, so you're decompressing from the Fiesta Bowl. You'll have, of course, Miami taking on Wisconsin. Sunday's NFL games, final weekend of the season or the regular season. And then you have the national semifinals coming up on New Year's Day. And on New Year's Day, you've got the Rose Bowl at 5 o'clock, Oklahoma, Georgia. You've got the Sugar Bowl at 8:30. Alabama, Clemson, 3. You want to be fully stocked. You want to go to Brewers Outlet. And today's the perfect day to do it. Go on over there. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Yes, all together now. Whether it's 2017 or 2018, the Pickle Bar is indeed second to none. Plenty of free parking, well laid out store, plenty of help to get cases to the car. All right. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And again, we're mobile with the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Bob Rondo will join us in a few moments. The legendary play-by-play voice of the Washington Radio Network calling his final game of his illustrious 37-year Washington career tomorrow. But before we get to that, we've been doing some of the play-by-play calls of the year. For the Nittany Lions, this was, for them, the play of the year.
It's win it or lose it right here in the gun. Takes it. Back to pass. Blitz coming. In the end zone. Throws. Got it. Touchdown. Penn State. Jawan Johnson. And the Nittany Lions at the wire win it.
An 80-yard drive against Iowa in the clutch to win it as Penn State beat Iowa. One of the true signature wins of the season, along with that Michigan win that took place in Beaver Stadium before the whiteout. And that is our play-by-play call of the year for Nittany Lion football. Well, with that, we now turn our attention to Washington. Like Penn State, 10-2 on the year, and the legendary voice of Washington football joins us now to talk about his career as he is about to announce his final game of his career and to talk about the current Washington team, Bob Rondo. Bob, with great respect, welcome to the show. It is really great to have you with us.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you so much. Looking for a nice end to it. I think it's been great how things work out that Washington wound up in the Fiesta Bowl playing Penn State. I go back far enough that it wasn't on this date, but pretty close to it. In 1983, when the Huskies last played the Nittany Lions, I remember that Aloha Bowl game and anxious to see a renewal in the series. It's going to be fun.
I think you worked the game with Gil Santos, didn't you?
That's exactly right. We each did a half. That was the second year of the Aloha Bowl. Washington had, curiously enough, played in the first one against Maryland and Boomer Esiason the year before. Huskies won that game. And I did half and half with Johnny Holiday that day when they played Maryland. And then, yeah, as you say, Gil Santos and I worked the game the next year when Penn State won.
Yeah, because I was the third announcer at that time in the Penn State Radio Network. And they could, of course, only send one from each team to do this. So I ended up going to Hartford to do basketball while you were sitting in the sunshine.
Not a fair trade, Steve. Not a fair trade at all.
In this season for you, as you watched it play out, what were some areas that impressed you about Washington, and what were the little things that kept it from being like last year?
Well, I think we'll go with the little things first, and little things became big things. This team had three issues this year that it did not face last year. They lost a bunch of players, and unfortunately, really dynamic players, especially on the offensive side of the ball. In losing our playmaking receiver early on, in Chico McClatcher, really good player, probably the most dynamic receiver on the team. Quentin Pounds, another top level receiver, was lost later on. They lost their best offensive lineman. Did lose a running back late when LaVon Coleman went down, but they lost their best offensive lineman in Trey Adams, big left tackle, probably the best NFL prospect on the team, and he went down in the Arizona State game, a dreadful night all the way around. So I think the injury issues, they also lost a really dynamic young tight end in Hunter Bryant. They stayed pretty solid on the defensive side, but I think the biggest difference between this year's team and last year's team, its ability to move the football, particularly in the air. The passing game took some very serious hits that they did not suffer a year ago. That's probably the biggest difference between the 2 years. I think the thing that impressed me most was how well they played defense again after losing some, as you know, really good players to the NFL out of the secondary last year. They came back and were solid defensively all year long, and that certainly has carried them, I think, to the season they had and into the Fiesta Bowl game.
I know we've talked a lot, Bob, when doing the Penn State broadcast about defense up the middle, starting up the middle and then branching out, you know, maybe a nose tackle, linebacker, a couple of safeties. Does Vita Vea really set the tone for what they want to do defensively?
Absolutely, no question about it, Steve. And it's interesting. You look at the stat sheet, and the Vita Vea hardly jumps off the page. But in no way does that tell you the kind of impact he had on this team. And it's the reason he was voted the Defensive Player of the Year in the Pac-12. He's double and triple team seemingly on every play, and yet is just a factor on every play. You have to game plan for him. He facilitates so much what other guys are able to do. Vita Vea is a man-child. He's a giant guy. He is probably the best defensive lineman we've seen at Washington since Steve Emptman, and I don't I'm not capricious in making that comparison. He is that kind of guy that has that kind of impact on a football game, and you're going to see how good he is, I think, when the NFL decides to pick and choose here next spring. I think Vita Vea is going to be a lottery pick in the NFL draft. He is that good.
This is the one game that's going to feature two running backs that have played 3 years of college football, and all 3 years have each had 1,000 yards. Fans here know what they think of Saquon Barkley. Tell us about how special Myles Gaskin is.
Well, he's probably a little smaller version of Saquon Barkley. He is the same kind of body type, the stocky frame, although he doesn't weigh 230 like Mr. Barkley does, but Miles plays bigger than the buck 90 or buck 95 that he weighs. Very similar type players, very shifty, capable of breaking tackles. Miles has really distinguished himself in the passing game this year, doing a lot of nice things, receiving, and as you say, statistically really comparable. Certainly he hasn't had the Heisman Trophy type consideration that Saquon Barkley has had and certainly deserves. But Myles Gaskin need not take a back seat to anybody. This is has been one of the best running backs, one of the most durable running backs the Huskies have ever had.
Yeah, I watched the tape, and you look at him on tape, he is dynamic. Barry's son. We know, you see the speed as to what he does at wide out. You get to call all those punt returns. You've called all, is it nine now he has? 13?
Nine of them.
Nine.
Yeah.
Feels like 1,000. All four of them this year as well. When you watch him on a punt return, how does the stadium get just when he drops back to receive it? And then what does the stadium get like watching him?
Oh, it's just been crazy, Steve. And he is unique in his abilities that I've seen. I mean, it's a pretty basic science to start with. You have to be able to catch the ball, number one. And not all punt returners can do that with a whole bunch of guys bearing down on him. But he has a terrific ability to, number one, catch the ball, and then maybe more to the point, to make that first guy miss. And that's key to any good punt returner. You have to make some people miss, including the first one down, and he's just been extraordinary at doing that. And then he's had a lot of help along the way. Washington, you know, punt returns are a team deal, and it is no surprise perhaps that Chris Peterson personally coaches the return game for Washington. He takes a lot of pride in it. They spend a lot of time with it, and they get things blocked, and Dante Pettis has the speed and the elusiveness to make things happen after the catch. But this has been a system. It's not just him, but just him. He's pretty good on the receiving end. 9 punt return touchdowns, and yeah, you do hear it in the stands, both home and away. I mean, people know about him on the road, and it's a little scary when he touches the ball, for sure.
Here he comes. And it's been a great year for the Pettis family. I mean, his dad, of course, was the third base coach for the Astros to win the World Series. I got to ask you about Jake Browning. Did the injuries around him have any effect on the season he had?
There can be no doubt about that. You know, again, we talked about the players that they had lost, and obviously the most dynamic players at their respective positions, and that's really tough to overcome. So he just didn't have the weaponry that he had a season ago. Certainly, again, Miles Gaskin is an awful nice guy to be handing off to, but he didn't have the receiving core of last year, and obviously John Ross was key there, the fastest guy ever at the NFL Combine. He hasn't had much of a season, a rookie year with Cincinnati after the high draft choice, but had a great year last season, and one of the chief reasons that Jake Browning was able to throw 43 touchdown passes last year, way under that this season. And again, just the dynamic nature of the passing game hasn't been there, and you know, people want to point to the injury, the shoulder problem that Jake had at the end of last season, and is that carried on into this season? I really don't think so. He's been very efficient again this season, a high completion percentage. He makes a lot of really good decisions, doesn't throw the ball to the other guys very much. I think, again, it, in terms of the offensive scheme and what the Huskies have been able to bring to the table with regard to the passing game, a little different this year from a season ago.
Bob, you and I have had the privilege of working around legendary coaches. I mean, we know about Joe Paterno and what he did. I think a guy that, in my opinion, never really received as much recognition as maybe he should have was Don James. You worked with him. The impact of one-on-one working with him, Bob, and also at the same time the kind of coach he was.
Well, I'm sure we could share similar stories in a lot of ways, Steve, with regard to Coach James and Joe Paterno and their respective impacts on their program and certainly on us. Don James was a one-of-a-kind head coach. I think quite fittingly memorialized this year with a statue out in front of Husky Stadium, a statue paid for by a lot of his former players who got the project on the way and got it accomplished, and Don getting the recognition that he's so richly deserves, you know, in perpetuity. But again, the same kind of commanding presence that a Joe Paterno had, the same kind of obviously great relationship with his players that Joe Paterno had, the respect from the players has just been off both sides. And again, that's evidenced by what happened this year with the unveiling of the statue out in front of Husky Stadium. You just cannot underscore or understate the impact that these guys had on their programs, and you know, it's telling what happened to Washington after Don James left. The Huskies, you know, stayed pretty good for a while, and then the bottom fell out. And now Chris Peterson, coming back in year 4, has taken Washington back into that kind of Don James level of impact around the country. And, you know, a lot can be ascribed to Coach John James for putting Washington on the map and Chris Peterson putting him back there.
That's what was going to be actually my next question, because Penn State has that guy in James Franklin. now that has taken the Penn State model and he's brought it into the 2000s as to what he's doing in pushing Penn State forward and winning 21 games the last 2 years. Is that what you're seeing in Chris Peterson, a more modern version of, you know, in his own way, of a Don James?
That is very well put and very appropriate, and that's exactly what is going on here. Chris Peterson is way the closest thing we've seen to Don James since the Dogfather left back after the 1992 season. They do things very similarly. Their attention to detail, their organization, their respect for their athletes, not only as players but as young men, and their wishes to see them be successful after their football careers have come to a close. Very similar in that regard, and it worked for Don James, and obviously it's working pretty well for Chris Peterson too.
Maryland game, Jack Hamm and I drove back, and we were listening to your game, the Apple Cup game, as we were driving back, and we were able to get your broadcast with Damon. What were the emotions sitting in that spot for a final time, or standing in that spot a final time, and has anything started, you know, in terms of how you feel about this game?
Just an amazing night. First and foremost, a really impressive performance by Washington. They have been just absolute kryptonite for Mike Leach and Washington State the past 4 years, and they put on a really nice show. I had a chance earlier in the week, Steve, to go in and do something I've never done in my career at Washington, and that was speak to the team.
Wow.
In their team meeting room, and that was an experience I will never forget, I assure you. And then the Apple Cup Day, and all the university did for me and for my family, the tribute in the stands with the cards saying thanks, Bob, for me to see from the press box. You know, you're talking about coordinating 15,000-20,000 people to do that. It was unbelievable. The band spelling out my last name as they left the field. It was almost to the point of embarrassment, Steve. That you know, those kind of things would be, we showered on a radio guy, but that's been kind of my relationship with this program through the years, and yeah, that has been a second home for me on the shores of Lake Washington at Husky Stadium. I've seen the stadium, you know, go through several iterations and change to become the palace that it is today, and it was an amazing day, start to finish, starting with a Bob Rondo bobblehead giveaway of all things. And I suppose there can be no greater flattery to anybody in this day and age than to get a bobblehead modeled after you. So, again, it was an embarrassment of riches on that day, and just a terrific, great time for my family and for me. And now we look to have the same kind of deal down at the Fiesta Bowl. This will be a first for me. Washington has never played in a Fiesta Bowl game, so that will be extraordinary. And then the matchup itself, you couldn't ask for a whole lot better. I know both of these teams had maybe a little bit higher aspirations, yep, at the start of the season to be playing in the Final Four, and both of them were close, I think especially Penn State. But this is a dream matchup and a great one for the Huskies and their fans and everybody concerned with Washington football.
Well, in the city that's produced the great Dave Niehaus, now Dave Sims, Steve Rabel, you can stand side by side with any of them with the great, great career you've had, with great admiration for the work you've done, and best of luck with the Fiesta Bowl coming up. I can't wait to meet you face to face that day.
I'm going to look forward to that, Steve. We're gonna have a great time down in the desert. It should be fun, and I'll be in touch this week. All right,
Bob. I look forward to it.
All right, my pleasure.
Bob Rondo, the legendary play-by-play voice of Washington football and basketball, 37 seasons. Yes, he did call the last Penn State-Washington game, which was the Aloha Bowl in 1983. Interesting, last week when we were taping the Blue-White Tailgate show, which is airing tonight, as a matter of fact, we had to tape it last week, and we were sitting around. It was Todd Sadowski, Trey Bauer. Of course, they were on the show yesterday, and Jay Paterno. And we were able to call up on the computer the Aloha Bowl, and we were kidding Jay, asking if you know, Joe had these crazy this crazy pair of pants on. Of course, it was 1983, and I said, any idea? He said, where those are? He says, I think they're still in the closet somewhere. Amazing. But Bob did call that game, as he mentioned, with Gil Santos. They had to split. Bob did the first half. Gil did the second half, so they flipped who was the analyst. I was in my first season on the Penn State Football Network. I had already started on basketball. And was actually into my second season of doing Penn State basketball. My first season in the Penn State Football Network was 1983. And Penn State goes out and they get an invitation to the Aloha Bowl. And I'm thinking, gee, you know, it sounds like we can do the game. Wow, I might get to go to Hawaii. Well, expenses the way they are and business the way it is, each network felt that why don't we just get together and collaborate and each team send one announcer. So Gil Santos went for Penn State, Bob Rondo went for Washington, and they were the two announcers on the game. I, in turn, went to Hartford to announce basketball at the Hartford Civic Center, and the roof was leaking that night. I'm like, okay. So that was my first season on the Penn State Football Network. Jack Ham, final half hour, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are lots of ways to ring out the old and ring in the new.
But the best way is in a new Ford car, truck, or SUV
from Sunbury Motors Ford.
As we count down the days in 2017,
SMC is where you want to be.
But time is running out,
so come to the dealer with four city blocks of new Fords.
And the dealer voted best in the Valley Reader's Choice for the best car dealership in the Valley for 2 years in a row.
SMC is where you want to be.
With over 88 new Ford trucks with savings up to
$13,500.
SMC is where you want to be for the most trusted SUV brand, the Ford Escape. Choose from 33 new Ford Escapes starting as low as $18,975. And Sunbury Motors Ford has financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months on select models. Plus, during the final days of Ford's year-end sales event, there's now up to $2,000 in total cash savings on specially tagged vehicles
on top of the best deals of the season.
SMC is where you want to be to ring out the old and ring in the new.
But you have to hurry before the ball drops.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. What a great 2017 we have had. I'm really looking forward to 2018. But before we get there, we've got the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl tomorrow in Glendale at 4 o'clock. On with the Dietz and Watson Tailgate Show beginning at 2:30. Don't forget, you can hear the game on News Radio 1070 WKOK and also at WKOK.com. Don't forget that. Today's show is brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Plenty to celebrate. A great 2017. Really, really looking forward to 2018. And you want to celebrate and make sure that you have plenty of beverages around and snacks and everything. You could possibly have a great party weekend. You've got the Cotton Bowl tonight, USC against Ohio State. Tomorrow you've got the Fiesta Bowl, Penn State and Washington at 2:30 with an airtime here on WKOK and WKOK.com. 4 o'clock the kickoff, then tomorrow night you've got the Orange Bowl with Wisconsin and Miami, NFL games the final weekend coming up on Sunday, and then Monday is New Year's Day, which means you've got the Rose Bowl between Oklahoma and Georgia, you've got the Sugar Bowl coming up between Clemson and Alabama. You also have during the day, by the way, not bad, LSU and Notre Dame in the Citrus Bowl, and you have Michigan playing in the Outback Bowl, and you got the Peach Bowl between Central Florida and Auburn. So you got a lot. It's just a cornucopia of bowls. You want to make sure you're fully stocked. That means today, okay, as you drive, back, you can get in the car, you can listen to the show, you can listen to Jack Ham as you drive over to Brewers Outlet. All right? Jack will be on in just a few moments as we roll on here from Scottsdale. And you can go over to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Bags are right there at the register. And indeed, the Pickle Bar, whether it's 2017 or 2018, the Pickle Bar is always second to none. Led by the Barrels and the Dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And here in Scottsdale, the Sunbury Motors studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Close out the year with a car. Start the year with a car. And when you do, you go to Sunbury Motors. All right, my broadcast partner, 18 seasons. We are completing, heading into 19 next year. My good friend, Jack Ham. Jack, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. First of all, 18 seasons has gone by very quickly, I must admit. There's been some ups and downs, and it seems like right now this football team, that arrow is pointing up.
Yeah, no question. In fact, let's start with that. Let's go back, because you and I have had to go through a process to get to this point, and it's something you and I can talk about, but we're not going to talk about publicly. Process to get here. If I would have told you, as we sat in that hotel in New York in 2014 after the Pinstripe Bowl, that they would have back-to-back double-digit win seasons in 16 and 17, what would you have thought?
Well, you know, I've never thought that would occur, honestly, Steve. I thought that this football team would get better, but the quantum leap that we have made in the last couple of years, and, you know, go back to give O'Brien credit, give, you know, James Franklin takes over. And just, you know what, and he just built its foundation brick by brick. He just realized that it was going to be a long process. But all of a sudden, last year's team, I think a lot of people felt was maybe a year away, all of a sudden started to mesh, guys playing well together. One example is a guy like Gesicki, the tight end, who just came into his own, and we were waiting for that from him. But not only Gesicki, but so many players. Then all of a sudden you get on a roll, you get momentum, you have gained some confidence. All of a sudden, and with that talent that Franklin has recruited, all of a sudden starts to pay off dividends, and now that's where we are right now. And it seems like we're relevant in that big top 10, close to the playoff, not quite there yet, but like I said, we're pointing in that direction.
Obviously, Penn State had a very talented quarterback when he took over in Christian Hackenberg, but it didn't fit the personnel around him. And, you know, there's nothing they could do about that. Trace McSorley and the fit with the personnel, Jack, what do you think of that, and how fortunate was Penn State that it happened when it did with him?
Well, I think, first of all, you're exactly right. We had to weather the storm. The insect with Hackenberg just really did not fit into this offense. All of a sudden now, McSorley getting more and more, getting playing time in the bowl game. All of a sudden, you know, gaining again. That one of the guys we talked about, gaining so much confidence. But this fit in this offense right now, because you could talk about Barkley, we can talk about all the weapons we have out there. Boy, the thing that makes the whole thing work is McSorley. How many big runs did he have in big games for Penn State to get first down, big plays? You know, I can go back to, I think, the Minnesota game last year, and he ends up making a big run late in the fourth quarter. All those things, I think, it took time. You had to be patient, and I think McSorley is such an outstanding fit, along with Stevens as well. We are solid there at quarterback. And I think both those guys are kind of like a glove into this offense right now.
Which then brings us to the next part. You brought up Tommy Stevens, Jack, and the newly created on the depth chart lion position. When you look at Tommy Stevens' versatility, what does it take, in your opinion, for a guy to master, or at least attempt to master, multiple spots on the field?
Well, I think the coaches have seen so much of Tommy Stevens that they're so comfortable and they're confident in his skill set right now. He has built himself up to a great program here in the Penn State weight room, because he's now about 228 pounds at 6'5". And for a defensive coordinator going up against a little bit of it this year, like going against a guy like Tommy Stevens in that backfield, you know, we'll probably have Sanders next year as well in that backfield. I mean, you're very concerned how to key on a guy like Stevens, because he can do so many things. He's caught touchdown passes. He'll throw, obviously, touchdown passes. He'll run with the football. We saw him do that against Iowa. last year. I mean, he's been able to do so many, he's so versatile, and they've got a, you know, an outstanding arm as well. So incorporating him into offense is going to just continue to give, I think, defensive coordinators some nightmares out there. I think it was a case with Barkley all this year, and I think it'll be the case again next year with that new role for Tommy Stevens.
In fact, you and I, when we watch Tommy Stevens in practice, I know you in particular really like how he runs that read option, you know, because he really disguises it very well.
Yeah, and he's also very patient with that thing.
Yeah.
He holds that thing in there. He's got long arms. He can be able to hold it. And a split second like that in that option is critical for a defensive end hesitating for a second, not making a play. So, yeah, like I said, in college football, especially Big Ten, you know, this conference is a very physical conference, and you normally your quarterbacks, you go through a number of them. You saw so many teams in the Big Ten having issues at the quarterback position. We've been fortunate so far, but we're also fortunate to have two solid quarterbacks.
And also fortunate to have a couple of solid tailbacks. We've talked a lot about Saquon Barkley. We're now about to see more and more of Miles Sanders. When you've seen Miles Sanders, Jack, what has stuck out to you about him?
Well, I think the burst that he has, the ability to get from the start and then get to high speed. He's also a very good receiver out of the back. When we talk about Barkley, you know, catching football, Sanders has that type of ability as well. He's another guy. He's about 220 now, Steven. He's a guy that can be physical, run inside tackle area. And I think, you know what, five-star kid out of Pittsburgh. I mean, he has been patient, waiting his time, learning behind Barkley. And now for the next couple of years, should be the focal point of our running game at Penn State. But he has spent his time. He has been patient, so it's now Sanders' time, especially starting next year.
Jack, back in your era, freshmen were ineligible, so there was forced patience. You knew going in you weren't going to play right away. What do you think it takes for a five-star like a Miles Sanders to have some patience today to sit behind a Saquon Barkley and then wait your turn?
Well, I think you're right about a lot of kids are coming in. You know, you went through a freshman year and just getting acclimated to a system, and you sat out and you were able to watch, and you knew after your freshman year you'd end up playing. For a five-star kid like this, a highly touted running back coming out of Pittsburgh, and the ability he had. But you know what? When he came to Penn State and he saw Barkley, and this is probably the first time in his whole career of going back to Pee Wee football or whatever, where Sanders was on the bench watching someone else play who was undoubtedly just a better football player and one of the best football players in the country. I think what you end up doing, Steve, you end up learning from that. You end up learning from a Barkley and how to run routes, how to hold on to the football, which I think is one thing Sanders, you know, is going to be the focal point. I mean, Barkley didn't fumble the football the entire year. You watch how this guy does it, how he holds the ball, how he runs his routes out of the backfield. Even though you're on a bench, it's still that's your learning time out there as you watch him and how Barkley was able to respond to so many different things. Getting, you know, times where you get banged up in the backfield for losses, tackle for losses, you know, you stay with it and end up making plays, especially in the third and fourth quarter. So I think the mental part of being watching Barkley on the sidelines for Sanders is a huge thing. And I think going into next year right now for him, I think he learned a lot from Barkley that he'll put into play.
On the defensive side, Jason Kabinda not only led the team in tackles, he led the team in tackles against the run, and Brandon Smith was second on the team in tackles against the run. First of all, to have your linebackers do that, what kind of plus is that for a defense? And then the other part is you and I both know that they're playing their last games.
Exactly. It was a fantastic career for both of these guys. Both. Not only making the plays you talked about against the run, you give credit to the front four up front to keep those guys clean, but these are two smart football players, Kabinda and Smith, getting people aligned up properly, you know, changing the fronts at the last second right before the snap of the football in an offense. All the little things that they were able to do, which is gain experience out there for both of those guys, I think that's going to be a void that Penn State's going to have to address, obviously, next year. But I think physically, I think we'll have guys in there. But the mental part of the game, you know, getting guys in the correct position all the time, Kabinda and Smith were outstanding at that, and that's where we're going to have to make sure the next group of linebackers are able to do that.
As you and I go along, we get a feel for what the coordinators at Penn State are thinking, either because of practice and because of games. Now, Ricky Ronnie will take over on the offensive side. What does it mean, though, for Penn State, the stability that Brent Pry is going to be back for a third year as a defensive coordinator?
I think that's huge. Yeah. If losing Moorhead, obviously, I think a lot of people thought that was coming because of what he was able to accomplish with the Penn State offense. So he kind of almost expected that. Brent Pry on the other side, I mean, just taking over like this on the defensive side, if he lost two coordinators like that, that's a tough to overcome, even though with all the talent Penn State will have coming back. But the stability of Pry, I think what he brings to the table, again, the same blitz packages, delaying things until the last second. We had to compensate a little bit. Right? We weren't getting as much pressure on front four, so we had to dial up the different things, and we're able to bring the safety, bring Marcus Allen, bring so many different people, bring off the edge with our outside linebackers, especially Farmer coming off the edge. So many different things you kind of dial up and not give it away like that. And I think the stability of having Pry back there, obviously is a key thing. And I think we're fortunate the fact that he is going to stay and continue in that role.
Ryan Buchholz is back for this game. And when I mean he's back for the game, he's starting at defensive end, available now, and they're going to play him in the four defensive end package. They have not had that package for the last six games, Jack. What do you think that meant for Penn State defensively to lose an entire package with one player out?
Well, I mean, we end up losing him in probably the most difficult part of our schedule at the beginning of the Ohio State game. I mean, when you lose a guy, he's a physical presence. And at the end of that football game, we had a hard time getting any kind of pressure on Barrett, the quarterback, who I think was 13 for 13 in the fourth quarter of that football game. Along with just the rotation itself, but getting that package, which I think has been very, very successful for Penn State, you get more quickness, you get people rushing the passer, getting more pressure on the quarterback, which we needed late in that football game, we're unable to do it. Getting him back now healthy, getting the fact he's his physical defensive end, we had a mix and match a little bit with Gibbons going out there, who I thought did a credible job as well. But, people don't realize how important Buchholz was to our football team, especially when he lost him so early in that Ohio State game.
Yeah, you made a great statement among many during the course of the year, but one of them is if you sign with James Franklin, there's a really good chance you're going to play. They play a lot of people on defense, and even though they have a senior secondary, so many guys have played back there that are young players. In the overall development, what kind of foresight do you think this coaching staff uses in order to make sure they're never going to come up empty in spots?
Well, when I first saw this, to be very honest with you, Steve, in the booth, I'm seeing all of a sudden you got inexperienced back in a corner position. When you're playing freshman at one point, with Castro Fields and Wade both back on the outside, you can have that at defensive end or tackle or linebacker, but you're back there in that secondary where one play can be a 60-yard bomb if you're mentally not correct on everything in your assignments. And for James Franklin, obviously very, highly regarded recruits coming in, and to play those guys early, first of all, the confidence that you need out of corner, I think, more than any other position on the defensive side, because there's going to be times where you get beat. The idea of having those young guys out there playing in the rotation, in early parts of a game, in the early part of the season, you're right. I think recruits coming into Penn State realize, if I'm good enough, I'm going to be on that field.
Finally, Jack, this will be the fourth straight bowl game Penn State's been in since they were allowed back into it. What do you think it would mean for the program at this point to win it and have that feeling going into the offseason?
I think it is huge. I think last year's game against Southern Cal, as great a season as it was, you end up losing a close football game in the Rose Bowl. It took away some of that luster from last year. Everybody said it was a great game, yeah, but we came up on the short end of that football game, which was a shootout. It was nothing like any kind of defensive struggle. So it was whoever had the football last, and give Southern Cal a lot of credit. I think it's very important for this football team to finish off. It's been a great year so far, and we talk about the close losses to Ohio State and Michigan State. But this could really, put the stamp on this season right now, because this Washington football team is a solid football team, and Penn State's going to have to play really well to beat them.
There's no question about that, especially the Pettis kid on punt returns. This is where Blake Gilligan's going to have to probably have one of the games of his life.
Well, especially in a bowl game like this, when your special teams is so critical, that we make sure we handle Pettis, because, all throughout the season, you're on special teams throughout the week, you're into a rhythm. Now you have this off period of time until you're going to play against one of the special teams. For Washington is huge, so no question. But we're going to have, so there are going to be times where we're going to have to cover and get this kid on the ground. He's about as explosive a return guy that I have seen in a long time, and I'm sure Penn State on that coverage team is going to have to do a great job and limit what he can do.
All right, looking forward to it, Jack. Always appreciate it.
All right, Steve. Take care.
My broadcast partner for the last 18 seasons as we head into our 19th season in 2018, Jack Hamm. I've always told my broadcasting class that one of the things that you should strive to do along the way is to work with people who make you better. Now, however you may think of my work, I can tell you I'm exponentially better by working with Jack Hamm, and I'm exponentially better by working with Dick Girardi. And I can say the same thing about working this show with Sean Carey, Joe Putnam on the Spikes. We had Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer on the show yesterday, and along with Kerry Stroh, they all make me better working the TV show. No question about that. So I've been so, so fortunate in my career. What a year we've had in this show. I can't thank all of you enough. We have been getting record numbers on the podcast. And again, you can check out this show or yesterday's show on the Steve Jones Show podcast. We'll be getting record numbers on the podcast. We've had some great guests this year, but it all happens because of you. Okay, I can't thank all of you enough for listening to these shows. And I can't thank our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. They have sponsored every Friday show since I started. We're heading into our seventh year of doing the show. And Sunbury Motors. I can't thank Sunbury Motors enough. Right? The Sunbury Motors Studio, while mobile today in Scottsdale, this doesn't happen without them. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Don't forget, tomorrow, Penn State football, Nittany Lions will take on Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. Kickoff tomorrow is set for 4 o'clock. We'll be on the air with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show beginning at 2:30. You'll hear the game right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And don't forget, you also can hear the game at WKOK.com. Thanks so much for everything. Appreciate everything all year long. Enjoy the weekend. We will talk to you in the new year. Happy New Year, everyone, from us to you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.